Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article on Chita Rivero from AARP, the magazine. And the section is Up Front, What I Know Now. The Broadway Legends on Early Loss, Her Two Inner Angels, and Coming to Terms with the Big 9-0. Dolores and Chita. My full name is Dolores Conchita Figuerio del Rivero. My father was a Puerto Rican clarinetist and sax player. My Scottish-Irish mother was a government clerk. I was raised Catholic, and I've often said I have two angels, Chita and Dolores, one on each shoulder. Chita was the people pleaser. Dolores would tell it like it was. A sad, happy beginning. I was one of five, and we played and fought and laughed and ate, all part of a mixed-race neighborhood in Washington, D.C. But in 1940, when I was seven, Daddy became seriously ill. We weren't allowed in the hospital, so we would stand outside and see him at his window. And then he passed away. It was rough, but somehow my mother kept us all on an even keel. Surprise! I discovered that my maternal grandparents were mulatto, mixed-race descendants of the once enslaved. I wished I had known earlier. It might have deepened my connection with my black friends and colleagues, especially my one-time love, Sammy Davis, Jr. The Energizer Chita. Mother knew I had to be channeled. At 16, I auditioned for the School of American Ballet, and this tall, blonde dancer came running from the audition room screaming, "I can't!" If she couldn't, how could I? I was short, brown, and nervous as hell. But my teacher said, "Just stay on your own lane and look straight ahead." And I got in. One step, one plié led to another, and ultimately to Broadway. Lucky woman. I was born at a very good time. The 40s and 50s were the golden age of Broadway musicals. In 1957, I got cast as Anita, the Puerto Rican girl who sings America in West Side Story. It was a job, but became something so much bigger, in part because that musical was ripped from the headlines. Somebody had just been killed at a playground down the street. The article was pinned to a board near the theater entrance. "This is your life," I thought. Then came big roles in Bye Bye Birdie, Bob Fosse's Chicago, and other musicals. Still, I didn't win my first Tony until I starred in The Rink with Liza Minnelli in 1984. I'm still paying for all that jazz now, laughs, tapping her overworked knees. The roles that got away. I would be so selfish to have wanted any other roles because I've had so many great ones. Anita, Velma in Chicago, the title role in Kiss of the Spider Woman. I'm pretty satisfied. But, as she laughs, there are five Tonys out there that should have been mine. Finally, the big 9-0. I just had a birthday, and it was a biggie, 90. My daughter threw me an amazing party in Manhattan, and when I spied a celebrity banner with that huge number, I shivered. That's when my polite side, my cheetah side, came out. I let them keep the banner up, but I don't want to leave. The body might change, but the heart remains constant. And this was as told to Thelma Adams. Tony Award-winning actress Chita Rivera, 90, has published Chita, a memoir, available online and in bookstores as of April 25th. Now, the lead story in this particular AARP, the Bulletin, the cover story, is Fraud Survival Guide for 2023. It's fairly lengthy, but we were going to get started today with part one. Protect yourself and your money from scam calls, texts, and emails, and learn how the pros are fighting. Be prepared for today's frauds. Like any smart entrepreneur, scammers quickly adapt to the news and moods of the moment. These are the scams playing out right now. Oops, wrong number. Texts, seemingly misdirected messages are increasingly the start of a scammer's ploy. The con. A text message addressed to someone else pops up on your phone. It seems urgent. A rescheduled business meeting. An illness. Sometimes even a romantic get-together. A version circulating in Florida concerned meeting up for a spicy night, the state's attorney general warned. Since you're a helpful person, you text back, sorry, wrong number. The scammer, or often an automated chat bot that sends out computer-generated messages, keeps up the friendly texts. They may eventually invite you to join an adult website to see revealing pictures. So you hand over credit card info and money. Scammers are primarily aiming to find phone numbers where people are willing to engage, says Federal Communications Commission FCC spokesperson. They might then use that to try to get personal information or sell or reuse the number as a target for another scam. Protect yourself. Don't respond to texts from numbers you don't recognize. Simply delete them. Don't click on links in them or respond with stop if the messages say you can do this to avoid further messages. Instead, block the phone numbers they come from. Now we have fake barcodes on gift cards. That gift card tucked into a birthday card or thank you note could be worth $0 if scammers siphoned off the value first. The con. Law enforcement agencies warn that nimble-fingered crooks affix fake barcode stickers over the real ones on the back of gift cards in stores. When you purchase the card, the cashier scans the fake barcode at checkout, directing your money into the scammer's gift card account. Protect yourself. With some gift cards, you can make sure the number of the barcode matches the number on the packaging, or feel or gently scratch the barcode on a gift card before buying. Don't purchase if the barcode is on a sticker, or if the package is ripped, wrinkled, bent, or looks tampered with. The Better Business Bureau makes these recommendations. Crypto refund swindles. Beware if you've lost money in a cryptocurrency scam. Phony refund and recovery companies might come at you next. The con. Criminals set up fake Get Your Crypto Cash Back websites, including one that looks like it's from the U.S. government or Department of State. After luring targets, they contact those who respond by phone, email, or social media and ask for personal ID information, including account numbers and passwords, plus an advance fee for their services payable by gift card, cryptocurrency, or wire transfer. You get nothing, warns the Federal Trade Commission. Protect yourself. Crypto investments aren't insured by the government, the way bank accounts are. For the most part, funds lost to crypto scammers are gone. Don't trust anyone who contacts you saying they can get your money back, says Frank McKenna, chief fraud specialist for the fraud detection company Point Predictive. Testimonial videos. Crooks on social media promise to make you whole, but only if you make a video for them. The con. After stealing your money in an investment or sweepstakes scheme or taking over your social media account, criminals take the scheme to a whole new level by promising they'll return your cash or give you back control of your account if you make a testimonial video saying that you've made money in the fraud and that it's real and trustworthy, warns Eva Velasquez, president and CEO of the Identity Theft Resource Center. Crooks post the video on your account that they have taken over to scam others, and you get nothing that was promised. Protect yourself. Refuse demands to make a video, Velasquez recommends. We tell everyone, you won't get your account or your money back, she says, and it could just further the scam with your friends. Fake high school sports streaming sites. They claim they'll show the big game, but instead they steal your money and your information. The con. Polarized during the pandemic, streaming services for high school sports let you watch your niece's or grandson's latest match from anywhere, often for free via a legit outlet aligned with the school. But scam streaming apps flood social media before events, posting messages about streaming the game. Often they mention specifics, such as the names of key student athletes, to build credibility. Sometimes the athletes resend the messages, not realizing they're scams, said Mark Koski, vice president of the NFHS Network, a paid service that streams games from high schools. At game time, you click on the link, enter your credit card number, and never see the action. But now scammers have your money and your personal ID information. Some even put extra charges on your credit card. Protect yourself? Contact the high school before a game and ask how you can stream it, says the Better Business Bureau. A bank impersonator racket. Criminals are finding a low-tech way around two-factor authentication. The con. Let's say you've set up your bank or credit card online accounts so you can access them only with a live code sent from the institution. Then let's say a criminal has your bank or credit card's username and password logon and wants to steal from you. What should he or she do? In this increasingly common fraud, they call you, claiming to be from your bank and warning about a problem with your account. The caller tells you they are emailing or texting you a one-time passcode for logging in and asks you to read it back to them for verification. In reality, the scammer's login attempt triggered your bank to send you the passcode. Handing it over gives fraudsters full access to your account. Protect yourself. Scammers are so good at impersonating helpful bank or credit card company employees that you can't tell it's a con, warns Kathy Stokes, AARP's Director of Fraud Prevention Programs. Never give your one-time passcode to anyone who calls you. Hang up. Find your institution's phone number on a bank statement or on your credit card and call them. Ask if there really is a problem and report the con to the bank's fraud department, McKenna recommends. LinkedIn relationship fakes. Move over, romance scams. AARP is receiving a growing number of complaints about business relationship scams. The con. You get a message on LinkedIn, the popular workplace social media site, from someone who claims to be just starting out in the same industry you're in, seeking advice from a more experienced colleague. It's flattering and fun to be a mentor, and your guard is down because you're in a legitimate professional environment, says Amy Knopfzinger, AARP's Director of Fraud Victim Support. You get to know each other, and eventually they ask to move your conversation onto a personal device. Then they lure you into a scam. Protect yourself. A request to continue your chat on a more private channel is a warning. So is talking up crypto. LinkedIn may flag requests to go off-platform as it tries to remove fake accounts, but you should end the conversation and block the scammer. And lastly, in this section, I've got your package. Where is your house? Hoax. Is that text, email, phone call, or note on your door from a real delivery driver? The con. New package delivery scams include texts and phone calls purportedly from a professional-sounding delivery driver who can't find your house. Didn't order anything? They may try to convince you someone sent you a gift, or you may receive an email about rescheduling a drop-off for a fake package delivery attempt sticker on your front door. Their goal? To get you to provide personal information or simply click on a link they provide. That link then downloads malware that will harvest passwords and account info from your computer or dial a phone number with high per-minute fees. Protect yourself. Contact the seller or delivery service using a verified phone number, the FCC recommends. Don't use numbers or links provided by potential scammers. out-of-stock item scam. The email says the company is out of stock for the product you ordered. Where's your refund? The con. Scammers often place fake ads on social media sites for products at too good to be true prices. Take your order and payment information, then tell you the item's not available right now. Your refund is on the way, they promise, but it never arrives. And you can't reach anyone at the company about it. Protect yourself. Research businesses online before you buy, and only shop on secure websites with a lock symbol on the browser bar and an internet address that begins with HTTPS, and pay by credit card, the FTC recommends. That way, you can withhold payment pending an investigation. This section of this article was by Sari Horror, who's a contributing writer to AARP, the magazine, and writes frequently for The Bulletin and others on fraud, health, and consumer affairs. We'll continue with this article next time. Now back to AARP, the magazine. Let's look at some money saver tips. Hi, Finance Mom. In honor of Mother's Day, money gurus share lessons they learned from the women who raised them. Houses are like spouses. My mother encouraged my sister and me to pursue careers that would help us create an independent identity from our spouses. Mom modeled this by becoming a teacher and then a realtor. I remember hearing her trying to calm down her clients during the emotional process of buying or selling a home. One piece of her advice I always valued was, "A house is like a spouse. There's more than one for you in the world." Always be saving. The best financial advice I received was from my grandmother, Big Mama, my guardian from when I was four. When I was 14 and got my first job as a tutor, she told me to save something from that paycheck, and every time I got paid. So all my working life, I have saved part of my pay, every single paycheck. She made me a lifelong saver in good times and bad. My husband and I put our children through college with no debt, largely because of our saving habits. Lots of people look for a quick way to get rich, but my grandma was right. Save a little something from every paycheck and patiently grow your wealth. There's always a way. In my 20s, I discovered that when my siblings and I were children, my mom had called up the local soccer league and asked if there was any way to waive the fees, since paying for multiple kids in a soccer league is expensive. They said, "Sure, if you chalk the fields before the games." My mom did just that, so we could play soccer with uniforms and equipment. She taught me that there's always a way. Invest for the long run. In the 1970s, my mother made a small investment in a stock mutual fund. She always talked about how it grew over time and how she could tap some of it for major home improvements. It showed me the importance of being a lifelong investor. Respect the budget. When I was a kid, I always complained about what my mom made for dinner. So she once told me, "Let's see what you can do with this budget." The week I was in charge, we ate hot dogs every night. And I quickly decided I did not want to eat hot dogs every day for the rest of my life. I think she wanted to teach me about the challenge of living within your means. But I learned a different lesson, how important it was for me to expand my means, not just live within them. Now we have an article still from the Money Saver section, Split Up But Still Married. Jean Chatsky to the rescue. A woman who's amicably separated wants to make sure her finances are secure. The problem. Married for 36 years, Susan and Carter Honeycutt of Milwaukee have been separated for the past six. They've been more than amiable. Susan, a freelance writer, lives in half of the duplex they own. Carter, a musician and former fire captain, sends her half of his monthly pension and keeps her on his low-cost health plan. we've been able to be cooperative, says Carter, 61. Still, he characterizes their current agreement as transitory. Seeing that Carter has a girlfriend and sensing the ground starting to shift, Susan, 63, worries about how a divorce might affect her finances. So, what should they do? The advice. Since 1990, the divorce rate among people 50 and older has doubled. These so-called gray divorces, which tend to happen when spouses are past their peak earning years, can be particularly troubling for women, says Susan Brown, a sociology professor at Bowling Green State University. Research she co-authored found that older women who divorce see their standard of living drop an average of 45% compared to 21% for men their age. Susan suspects that a divorce would put a crimp in her modest lifestyle, one reason she prefers the status quo. But suspecting isn't the same as knowing, so the two of us sat down with Rhonda Nordyke, a certified divorce financial analyst with CEO of the Milwaukee-based Women's Financial Wellness Center, to assess three possible paths. One, stay married. This is clearly a money-saving option, especially for Susan. The Honeycutt's taxes are likely lower because they file jointly rather than as married filing separately, and as others in their spot might do. And Susan's health insurance costs are low. Those tax filings and the credit card they share for household expenses are strong proof of their ability to work together, Nordic says. But there are risks. One spouse could run up debts that the other could be partly responsible for. In a worst-case scenario, if one of them needs to go into a long-term care facility, the expense could be a drain on assets for both. Two, get divorced. While a divorce will bring closure, it will change the financial landscape. Paying for her own health insurance could run Susan at least several hundred dollars a month until she qualifies for Medicare. Then there's housing. If they sold the duplex in a divorce, Susan estimates that the cost of renting a new place would eat through her share of the proceeds in 7 years. And Susan isn't sure she's emotionally ready for the change. Part of my identity is still being married, she says. Which is why Nordyke tees up. Consider a post-nup. A post-nuptial agreement, just like a prenup, except it's signed after a wedding, not before, is a legal document intended to outline the terms of a possible divorce before either spouse files. But it can also redefine an ongoing marriage to help avoid a divorce. In Susan's case, Nordyke says a post-nup could reduce her financial risks by codifying the practices the couple has employed for the past half decade, such as paying for Carter's housing with the money they earn by renting out half of their duplex. Post-nups can be complicated, however, and laws governing them vary by state. To put one in place, it's essential that each spouse has his or her own attorney, which can run the couple a few thousand dollars. The outcome? Susan's plan is to get a post-nup. In fact, Carter says the two of them have already begun talking about it. Susan has also started to apply for full-time jobs. I think my future self would say it's a good idea to formalize this in some way, Susan says. I think I will be in a place of power if I take the reins and take action. Well, with the time we have left today, I'm going to look at another story, a cover story from a few months ago that we've been going through on how to save money. So let's look at this part. Make it last. How to extend the life of household items that too frequently get tossed or replaced before their time. Bread. Double bag it and toss it in the freezer. Then take out a slice or two and put it in the toaster on the highest setting to defrost. Clothing. Take the care instructions printed on the label seriously regarding things like temperature for the wash water and how to dry. Materials improperly cared for will shrink, fade, or wear down over time. Check the label before you buy. Don't spend the money if you can't easily take care of it. a coffee maker. Once every 3 months or so, run a cycle with no coffee grounds, using a full pot of equal parts distilled vinegar and water. This will remove buildup, residue, and mineral deposits. When complete, run 2 to 3 more water-only cycles to remove any vinegary taste. Garbage disposal. Run it with a load of ice cubes a few times a year to help keep it clean. Your toaster. Things go wrong with your toaster when crumbs accumulate. Most toasters have a crumb door or tray at the bottom that can be emptied with ease. Avoid the temptation to shake the toaster upside down because doing so can lodge crumbs into crevices and cause damage. Electric fans. One key secret to longevity is to always run your fan in a level position. The motor strains when it's sitting on a tilt. Lawn mowers. Use gas with less than 10% ethanol. Cheaper blends corrode the engine over time. Vacuum cleaners. Often the demise of a vacuum is linked to an abused power cord, so treat it with care. Don't yank it out of the wall when done or jerk it around table legs. And do keep it from knotting. Now we have a list of things you can get free, products or services you can get without cost if you know how to make the arrangements. Haircuts. Sign up to be a hair model at salonapprentice.com, where aspiring stylists find people on whom they can practice their craft. National Park Administration. On a handful of days each year, national parks that typically charge an entrance fee allow free admission to all visitors. Upcoming in days include the anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act, August 4th, National Public Lands Day, September 24th, and Veterans Day, November 11th. Museum admission. Many museums have designated days when they offer free admission. Call them or check their websites to find your options. The Denver Museum of Nature and Science, for example, offers a dozen such free days or nights, while the Museum of Modern Art in New York offers free admission to New York City residents on the first Friday evening of every month. And city tours. Check out free tours by foot to find tours you can take in more than 50 cities across the globe. The site offers pay-what-you-wish guided tours as well as links to self-guided tours. Well, folks, we have run out of time again for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.